Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So Richard's not here, so I can't thank him. Yeah, but to the elders, I really want to thank you guys for the faith and this privilege. I don't take it lightly. I really do not take it lightly. But I don't know. It's really difficult to stand up here at moments like this. It's one of those things where you go, okay, well, you have to try to suppress your emotions, and it's quite difficult. So I want you, before I go into the message, I always start with this scripture, always start with this passage, because I think we get saved, and then we sort of forget why we got saved and how we got saved. So I want us just to have a look at Luke 1:39. So just to give you a bit of a background, so Luke 1:39, this is Mary being pregnant with Jesus and then goes to visit Elizabeth. So we read this: in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth. And she just heard Mary coming in, greeting, and John the Baptist recognized Jesus at that stage. And Elizabeth and John the Baptist got filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is right in the beginning. And then John the Baptist went into the desert. So I don't know whether they saw each other, John the Baptist or Jesus. But then I want to skip to John 1:29. So John the Baptist has got his own ministry at this stage and is preaching. Hasn't seen Jesus for a long time. And then the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And that's what I want to get across. So no matter what we're saying, no matter what we're doing up here, if I can't say, "Behold, the Lamb of God," at any part of this message, then I'm doing a wrong thing. Then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Because that's what we need to do, is we need to point to Christ. We need to be able to stop everything that we're doing and remember what we had in the beginning when we first got saved. And we must be able to stop everything and say, "Behold, Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that came to save us." So that's what I just want to start off with this. And I also want to invite Brian and Carl to, at any time, then what I'm saying, if you feel you need to point to Jesus, to stand up and say, "I want to share this." So I'm really open for that. Because for me, I want to point to Christ. I don't want to say anything that's not pointing to Christ. Okay, so my time started already. I want to stick to my time. So, I'm going to share a bit about myself. And I don't have a lot to say about myself. My wife will disagree, but in any case. I grew up in a small town called Lichtenburg. So if you hear me don't speak English properly, it's because it's Afrikaans town, okay? So just bear with me with that. So it's in my matric year, and you sort of build up to a point where you get to play first team rugby and you build up to that. So all the guys, the rugby guys, will recognize this. You're looking forward to that time where you can play first team rugby. So who of you guys remember Estrie Storbeck? Estrie Storbeck Kuta? You guys, who remember? Yeah, 2-time silver medalist, Olympic silver medalist in the high jump for South Africa. Now, she was also in Lichtenburg High School, and she had a coach called Martin Marks. Big German guy. So if you can imagine Richard, but just a younger Richard, that's a bit faster, but a big guy. And he had this German accent, but Afrikaans. So he was our rugby coach. So just imagine that. I won't say better looking Richard. I'll get into trouble if I say that. But here's Martin Marks, and he drills us before the season. And we're looking forward to the first rugby game. So before I start that, I'm not going to give a title to my message. You'll get it later on. So the title is You Choose the Title. And then later on, you'll get the title. I'll tell you what the title is. So just try and imagine what the title is that I'm talking about. So here's Richard Marks. He drills us, gets us fit, and we get to the first game of the season. It's against all boys school that we play, and I had a brilliant game. It's really a good game. If I remember correctly, I even scored a try in that game. And I'm just chuffed. I mean, I believe I'm God's gift to the rugby community. And I just had a good game. And I go into the locker room, and here's Richard Marks. Oh, yeah, not Richard Marks, Martin Marks. Yeah, the younger one. So here's the coach, and he looks at me and says, "There's no place on this team if you're going to play like this." And I just go, I just felt, what is going on? I mean, I played my best. I scored a try. And I think I'm God's gift for this team. And I'm supposed to, he should go like, well done. So my nickname was Smitter. So he should have said, well done, Smitter. Instead, he went, well, there's no place in this team if you play like this. Obviously disappointed, go back to the car, got into the car with my dad. My dad high-fives me and says, well played, Andre. I said, well, the coach doesn't think like that. And he says, okay, well, then you need to sort something out because the coach knows a bit better than what I know. So obviously that was a lesson that I should have learned. Looking back at that, I think, okay, but there's something there that I've learned, and that's actually the title of my message, is what I should have learned there. I'm not going to share the title now. But one of my favorite passages in the Bible is in Matthew 16. So I want to give you a little bit of a background of Matthew 16, and this is almost like a team talk where Jesus, so he's speaking to if you start, so we're going to pick up from verse 6, but from verse 1, you see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they start to ask questions for Jesus, and they want to test Jesus. And then Jesus answers them from the passage of Jonah, and then we get to verse 6, where so they walk away, and the disciples is with Jesus, and Jesus recognized that there's something going on within the disciples. There's something in there that's not right. Almost like outside influences are trying to derail the disciples. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, sometimes we just need somebody like the elders just to come and have a little bit of a team talk and to get us back to focus again. That's why we have elders. And that's what Jesus did. So if you look at that passage, I just love Matthew 16 because the church, according to me, was birthed in Matthew 16. That whole scripture, that part there. So back to my rugby career, short one, in matric. So later on in the season, we're getting to the end of the season, and we're busy practicing. And at that stage, I was fortunate enough to be picked for for the province to play in Craven Week. So, I mean, I knew from the start I'm God's gift for this rugby team. So, and we're busy practicing, and I just said, I mean, you know when thunder comes and you just feel the earth starts to tremble? And I heard, smrrr, and it's just that tremble thing, and it's Martin Marks, and he's shouting. And I mean, I knew I had to be at least 5 meters away from him because he had like really long arms. And I just thought, okay, well, I don't need to wait for Christ's return. I'm just going to see him now within the next few minutes. So I was like really, really scared. And he just goes, okay, you're no longer playing in this team because of what I did in practice. And I thought, no ways. Can't be. I so looked forward for my final year playing first team, and now I'm playing provincial rugby, but I'm being dropped to the second team in front of all my teammates and the second team. I mean, it was just because you work towards something. And I just think at that moment, I thought, I'm the fittest guy on the field. I am the best, well, I thought I was the best rugby player, but obviously he didn't think that. Because I would go and practice, so we'll play a rugby match on a Saturday, I'll go back home, eat lunch, sleep a bit, and then I'll go back to the school and practice for another 2 hours. So I was the fittest and the most committed guy in that team, but I'm being dropped to the second team. And I just thought, how's that? I really looked forward to this time. And I was like really, really disappointed. But you see, I think people don't recognize that we have one chance. I had one chance to be matric and to play first team rugby. And I think there's some people sitting here that don't recognize we have one life. Just one life. If we mess this up, there will be eternity. We're either going to be with God for eternity, or we're going to be in hell for eternity. We have one life. So my concern is that there's people sitting here that we won't see in heaven because we think, okay, especially the guys that likes to postpone their decisions or like to do something at the last minute. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's how I felt. I felt, but I did all these great things for the team. I've offered up everything, and now I'm dropped. I mean, it was really not a great time in my life. And it makes me think back to the Israelites. When we read Kings, so 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and you go like, okay, here's King David, and he builds up the kingdom, and then you get all these other kings with the different influences, and then they almost get totally destroyed, and then another king rises up and focuses on God again, and get the Israelites back up, and then the whole thing just starts over again. You go like, why? Can't you just realize that you guys are making a mistake? And it's as if when I was dropped there, I did not recognize the lesson that I should have learned. That important thing that we have to do. That's the title of my message that I'm not going to share with you right now. So, fortunately enough, I don't know what my dad did or how much money he paid, but fortunately, my coach got me back into the first team. No, I'm joking. My father never did that. So, he actually came to realize my potential and got me back into the team. No, I'm joking. So it was really just, I don't know what happened, but I got back into the first team. So it's the second last game. Yeah, it was our second last game in Matric. We played in the quarterfinals of the Administration Cup. So Eugene and Brian will know the Administration Cup up in Transvaal. You had all the different leagues playing in one league for the whole of Transvaal. And then we were part of the top eight teams, played in the quarterfinals. Really tough game. Really, really tough game that we won by 3 points in overtime, extra time. The second half of extra time, we got a penalty in front of the poles and we kicked it over and we won. So everybody chuffed. Next practice on the Monday afternoon. Coach Martin Marks sat us on the ground in a circle and he said, okay, from number one to number 15, I want you guys to list what you did wrong and what you did right during the match on Saturday. And I just went, oh no. So we still got one match left. And I just went, I've got no idea. I don't know what to say. I don't know whether I played well, I didn't play well. And I couldn't think of anything well that I did. I could think of a lot of things that I did wrong. And so I played eighth man. So I sort of took the answers of the guys in front of me and used that. And I just said, okay, well, I don't know whether I did something well, but I missed a few tackles and I didn't get to the ball quickly enough. And then something happened. And the coach said, you played your best game ever. And you're the man of the match. And I just went, and I think he saw on my face that I don't know what I did well. And he said, do you know that you did the basics right? And that's the title of my message this morning. We forget the basics of Christianity. We get all these different things and we forget to stick to the basics. You see, we can't improve on the gospel. The gospel is there. We can't like window dress the gospel to make it look a bit better. And I think we want to do that. We want to go, okay, but come to Jesus because he will sort out your financial difficulties. That's not true. Jesus is my Savior. First of all, he's my Savior. And I want to spend eternity with him. And he's my focus. So we can't window dress Christianity. We need to get back to the basics. So there's a lot of basics. And I think if you go to the Bible, first of all, the first commandment is love the Lord your God and basically love people. That's the first commandment. And there's other basics, and I'm just going to go through two. So just bear with me. I've got a few minutes left. So the story of Nehemiah. Everybody knows the story of Nehemiah. Everybody goes, okay, Nehemiah, this great, awesome leader that rebuilt Jerusalem. And we go like, okay, well, Nehemiah is the guy. But something happened before that. Because you read Nehemiah and you go like, okay, but he was a cupbearer for the king. How did he get almost like a blank check from the king to go and rebuild? And you go, well, yeah, but God worked in the king's heart and all the things, which is true. But you look at that and go, something happened. So if you read Nehemiah and you go into the history of Nehemiah, about 34 years before that, something happened. So the king of Nehemiah, was a guy called Artaxerxes. I don't know whether I pronounced it correctly, but Artaxerxes, something like that. Okay, but now, here's the cool thing about that. So remember Nehemiah, Artaxerxes is the king. Then his father is a guy called Xerxes. Okay, nobody gets it. Okay, so his father is called Xerxes, but the thing is, that was his Greek or Persian name. His Hebrew name was Ahasuerus. Who knows who's Ahasuerus? Ahasuerus is the king who was married to Esther. So now we see Esther being married to the father of the king that gave a blank check to Nehemiah. So here we have Esther not being silent. We know this, that she was placed in a position where she could speak out and cause the Jewish, that whole thing that Haman tried to destroy the whole Jewish nation, and Esther spoke up. But here's the important thing. Artaxerxes grew up in a house where Esther had influence. And she discipled him. And that's the first basic thing that I want to speak about. I say, discipleship. Discipleship is so important because you don't know what's ahead of that person, what you're preparing that person for. So for me, discipleship, and especially in our congregation, is so important. We need to focus on discipleship. There's a lot of young people here, so I'm just going to speak frankly, a lot of young people here that needs discipleship. And there's a gap for that in this congregation. We need people to disciple each other. Because just imagine Esther not being in that position, not discipling him, and Nehemiah got to that point, and he said, okay, well, I want to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And the king goes, okay, but why do I have to help you? I don't have to help you. I don't know you. Okay, so that's the first one. So even a nicer story before that. Now, okay, I just want to use the scripture, Matthew 28:19, just to talk about discipleship. Matthew 21:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So just the importance of discipleship, that we need to go, that's a instruction from God that we need to disciple. Now, 59 years before Esther, so we've got Nehemiah, and then we've got Esther. And we go, okay, but something happened before that. Surely something happened before that. And we read of somebody that we don't speak a lot about. So 59 years before Esther, a man that is part of the lineage of David, meaning he's part of the lineage of Jesus. Okay, so that's the same lineage. He wasn't a king, but he led 40,000 Jews, the first person to lead Jews out of exile to Jerusalem. That's 59 years before Esther. His name was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. Who knows about Zerubbabel? So Zerubbabel did not take any shine. He's not known in scriptures and known in preachers and known in messages. But one thing that he did right, he got his focus right. Because the first thing that he did is rebuild the temple. He didn't go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall or rebuild the economy or this or that. His focus was to rebuild the temple. And you can read in history, if it wasn't for Zerubbabel rebuilding the temple, none of these other things would have happened. So he made sure that there's a place for saints together. And that's what I want to say. That's the second basic thing that I want to talk about. Hebrews 10:24. So Zerubbabel got his priorities right, making sure that what's written in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day dawning near. We can't forget gathering together, whether it's in calm, whether it's like today. And those two things for me is the most important two things in this congregation. Discipleship and not neglecting the gathering of the saints. Because it's so important. So if I want to go back, let's go back to Matthew 16. So now I just want to finish off with this because my time is almost done. So I want to finish off with this. Matthew 16, we see Jesus speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're testing Jesus, and Jesus tells the disciples, okay, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it's almost as if in this part, Jesus goes, okay, but here's discipleship, first of all, he's discipling them, and they're meeting together to discuss this whole thing. That's why elders are there, to, at a meeting like today, where they give instructions to say, okay, well, we need to change this or we need to focus on this. So Matthew 16:12 says, then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm going to go on to verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and others of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And here's the thing. Jesus saw the disciples being distracted, influences coming in. And he sat them down and he said, okay, we need to discuss something. I need to disciple you to make sure that your focus is right. And he got that right. And the thing is, he called them together as a group in order to discuss this. Discipleship, gathering of the saints, and the church was born. Because at this stage, that's where the church was born. And I'm just, again, I go back to what I said. I'm so scared that, and fearful, that fear that Andrew spoke about yesterday, that we don't get it. I think we sit here and we go, I have some time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll disciple somebody tomorrow. That person might be dead tomorrow. I'm not going to meet with this guy today because I don't have time. I'm not going to go to church today. It's not about you or me at church. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And we need to get to a meeting, spending time with people, and then say, behold, the Lamb of God, who came to take away our sin. Because that's the focus. It's not my selfish ambition or my selfish desires. We are here to serve a living God and to populate heaven and to disciple people. Because, and who of you know that song, put your left hand in, put your left hand out. What's it called? Hokey pokey. Okay, so now here's the thing. Some people say it's the hokey pokey. But what's it actually called? So, hokey? Okay, so everybody goes hokey pokey, and we will like really say, no, it's a hokey pokey. It's not called the hokey pokey, it's called the hokey cokey. So just go and read that. But you see, we like argue about, it's really, I promise you, it's called the hokey cokey, not the hokey pokey. Okay, you go and Google that later on. And yes, there's people now Googling, going, okay, 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 okay. But here's the thing. People will argue about silly stuff and don't focus on God and don't go back to the basics. I promise you people will go and Google that. And Mark is busy Googling that, so yeah. So Mark, what is it? Okay, so the one that says put your left hand in, put your left hand. Okay, but so, thank you so much. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. So the moral of the story is, let's stop all these influences from the outside. Let's stop focusing on stuff that's not important, that's not life-giving and life-changing. Let's start to focus on discipling each other, meeting together as saints, and love God and love people, because that's what it's all about. And I don't know whether I've placed enough emphasis on the whole thing that we've got one life. If we miss this, we won't have a rerun. We've got one life. I'd rather live full out for God now than to regret it and God say, sorry, I know you practiced so hard. I know you did all those things, but I don't know you. I don't want that. So yeah, if Albert can come up maybe in. And I just want to pray for us. Brian, So, is it okay if we all stand? So my prayer will be a prayer of repentance this morning. Because I want to repent of focusing on the wrong stuff. So, Father God, this morning, we as a congregation just comes before you, and Lord, we just want to repent of focusing on things that's not important. Lord, it's about you. It's not about our fleshly desires or what we want to do or how we see things, but it's about you. It's about Jesus Christ that came to the earth, died a gruesome death on the cross for our sins to save us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that became flesh so that we may live. So Lord, this morning we repent and we turn our focus to you again. To say that you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And we decide as a congregation today that we will go back to the basics and turn our focus to you.